Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first."
Just to say this afternoon, I hope that the plan is that there will be time for questions. We haven't done that for a while. It's something we used to do a lot of. Obviously, haven't done it in the last 18 months with lockdown. Couldn't do that really through Zoom. But if there are questions that arise towards the end, I'll take a break. And if we've got time for a couple of questions, we'll do that. The story of the rich young man. Many of you are in this category. Young men. I don't know when you think you stop being young, but I reckon it's about 40. And if you are over 40, we can think ourselves to be young, because the thought of being old, well, that's other people. Rich young men. You may not think you're rich young men, but when you compare yourself to your colleagues, or footballers or F1 racing drivers, then I'm sure you do not feel rich. But compare yourselves to world standards and we are rich, rich beyond millions and billions in this world. Now, of course, many of you are women. Don't think this isn't for you. It is for all of us, even if we're not in the category of rich young men. I want you to imagine you are this afternoon, because I want you to remember the rich young man. Because this is so relevant to each of us. This man came seeking eternal life. What could he get? How could he gain it? Now, there's nothing more important than each of us to think about this question of eternal life, because we might die tonight. Gareth was telling me he ran the Hampton Court Half Marathon this morning. And as he was running, he came across a man who had collapsed. Gareth was running with his brother. And by the time his brother got to where this man had collapsed, he wondered whether he was still alive. We can die at any point. It's a horrible thought, we might think. We don't want to think about it. I understand that. Because what will happen to us? Life is fragile, isn't it? Life is short. And then what? What will become of us? And don't think if you're young that this is a question, oh, I'll get round to that question when I'm a bit older. Let me tell you, old people do not think about this question any more than young people do. Most of us have probably had friends who have died, or family who have died, as Keith was sharing. We may have been at school when we had a school friend die, or at uni, or in our job. Nothing more important than to think about eternal life. Remember the rich young man. Look with me at Matthew 19. We're going to walk through this a bit because it's worth doing that. He came to Jesus seeking eternal life. What good thing must I do to get eternal life? I wonder if any of you are asking that question. I doubt it, because we don't think we're going to die, and we're not really that interested in what comes next. That's something that happens to other people. Of course, though, we are not stupid. We know it'll happen, but we just bury our heads in the sand for the moment. But not this man. The question he asks is revealing. Last week, if you were here, we finished on the little children coming to Jesus. They come humbly, trusting, not in themselves, but in Jesus. This is very different to this man, because he comes thinking he's good, but what extra good will secure his future? And in asking, he reveals his inadequate understanding of goodness. Only God is good, says Jesus. But, says Jesus, if you, rich young man, think the way to gain eternal life is by keeping the law, let's go to the law then. Keep the commandments, says Jesus. He naturally says, well, which ones? And Jesus goes straight to the Ten Commandments, which we read earlier. He doesn't list them all. If you look at 19, see, he only lists the second half. The first half is commandments that are in relationship with God. They are Godward. These are relationship with others. And he finishes not with the Ten Commandments, but with a summary of the entire law, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that would have been challenging, because in Matthew's gospel earlier, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he includes love your enemies. We are to love them like that. So he's lifting the bar. Who could keep this commandment? Well, the rich young man doesn't really get it. All these I've kept, he says. Really? Isn't he lacking self-awareness, we might think? Is he so sure of his self-righteousness? But actually, it's interesting, isn't it? He's still troubled. There's something lacking in his mind. I've kept them, but somehow something's just not quite right. I'm not so sure. And note what Jesus says, and this is the crunch. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. The Ten Commandments are on one side. Now there is one command to this rich young man. Follow me. You want to be perfect. You want to get eternal life. You want to be saved and enter the kingdom of heaven. All the same thing, different ways of putting it. There's one way. Follow me. I remember years ago, as I came to prepare for this week, I remember years ago a preacher on this passage, and he painted a picture of this young man, which has always stuck with me. He said, imagine this young man has got a fistful of £10 notes in his hand as he comes to Jesus, and he is gripping them really hard. This is his treasure. And Jesus says, you want to be perfect, you've got to follow me. And in order to do that, you've got to drop the money that you are gripping so hard. Give it to those who don't have it. Now your hand is empty, and now you can take the hand of Jesus. Now I find that a helpful picture. Not to grab, but to give, and in giving he would then receive Jesus and be able to follow him. But he wouldn't let it go, would he? Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He walked away from Jesus. He wanted the rewards of money, and boy, are there some rewards, aren't there? I mean, just think of the rewards that we get, the pleasures we have that money buys us, a self-indulgent lifestyle. We may not think it's self-indulgent, but look how we spend our money. It gives us not any pleasures, but power over others with the money that we have. It protects us. Have you got that rainy day? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've raided the rainy day account, but lots of people have rainy day accounts When disaster strikes, when the car breaks down or blows up, as happened to the Carls, that you can raid. Or maybe it's that pension fund that you put money into that you think, well, that will secure the future for me. And then, of course, money allows us to purchase cool things, better things than others have. Money gets us a lot. Great wealth gets us great treasures on earth. It is hard to imagine giving them up. I mean, imagine life without money. Imagine, as a friend of mine discovered, his wife had been scammed over the phone. You listen to Money Box on Radio 4 or something like that with Paul Lewis, and you hear these dreadful stories and you think, how could they be so foolish? But they're not stupid people. And they go to their bank accounts and it's been completely cleaned out. And this lady yesterday, I was listening to her speaking about it, and she said, I felt so sick. She said, my life savings had gone. Well, imagine more than that. Your house is repossessed. Your inheritance amounts to nothing. We can't imagine a disaster of that scale. How would we survive? It would be hard, very hard. And this is the lesson the rich young man Jesus teaches his disciples. He says it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he illustrates how hard it is by taking the largest of land animals, the camel, and the smallest of holes, the eye of a needle. I cannot thread or put a thread through the eye of a needle. It's ridiculous to think you'd ever get a camel. Of course, that's the point. It's impossible. Which is why the disciples say, who then can be saved? If the rich man cannot, what hope is there for us? Because in their minds, riches and wealth were a sense of God's blessing on them. And therefore, they had an advantage when it came to eternal life. Well, Jesus upends that thinking. He upends thinking that goodness and being perfect will gain you eternal life. It is unachievable. Verse 26, with man, this is impossible. The point is this, it is impossible for anyone to be good enough to gain eternal life. Yes, we have got to the first point on the my sermon outline on the back, if you're following on that. But don't worry, we're doing well. It is impossible for the rich man, it is impossible for the disciples, it is impossible for you and me, for anyone to gain eternal life through being good. I mean, just think what was going on for the rich young man. He showed that money was the center of his identity. To lose his money would actually be to lose himself. It would knock everything he stood for six. Money had become his savior. And when Jesus came along and said, it's your money or your life, he chose his money and in doing so committed suicide. That's what he did. His whole life he pursued material wealth. He would not leave that and follow Jesus, and so he perished. He did not gain what he set out that day to gain with Jesus. It is impossible for anyone to be good enough to gain eternal life. And this week, as I've prepared, I've tried to put myself in the rich young man's shoes, to think what it would be like to get rid of my possessions, give away what money I had. And it has made me think, how much am I grabbing hold of what I have? What hold has it actually got on me and my heart? How much am I looking to it for my future security? Am I depending on it to be my savior? Because money has great power to keep us from God, which is exactly what Jesus says, why it is so hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, let me just say as an aside, please don't hear this saying that to follow Jesus, we have to give everything we have away. That would be to take a particular instruction to this rich young man and make it general, make it universal. That's not what Jesus is doing. But it might be for us. What is stopping us from following Jesus? It should make us think, who am I depending on and looking to or trusting in? It might be my career. It might be my family. Think, what would I find it hardest? Someone said to me recently, oh, I could do without that, I could do that, but if I lost that, that would be a disaster. It's that, if I lost that. And Jesus proceeds to speak to the disciples, because the disciples are completely reeling at this point. They've given up what they had to follow Jesus. They've left the security of their jobs to follow him. Did that count for anything, they say? We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? They've responded positively to Jesus' call in order to follow him into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus reassures them. He says, in the new world that's coming, when the Son of Man, that is Jesus, sits on his glorious throne, they will be seated with him, sharing in his rule. Now, it is impossible for you and me to enter this world, this eternal life, this kingdom of heaven, but God can make the impossible possible. And that's really the second point. God makes the impossible possible through the gift of his Son, Jesus. Remember where we started with the question, what good must I do to get eternal life? Look how Jesus finishes. Three great promises to his disciples that he gifts. The first is there, verse 29, you will sit with me at the renewal of all things. You'll be there, in other words, you will receive eternal life. That is a gift that is to come. Verse 30, you will receive 100 times as much as what you've left in this life. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much. You will not be a loser following Jesus. The reverse, you will be in the receipt of many blessings, amazing blessings. Not because you've earned it, not because it's your due, but because God is good and loves to give good things. I can testify to this. As a young man, as I was then in my 20s, weighing up the claims of Jesus Christ, I can remember thinking, if I put my hand in his, if I follow him, I'm going to be a loser. I'm going to lose my friends. I'll be thought weak and pathetic. I read this and I thought, I'm going to have to give away everything I've got to the poor. I didn't want to do that. But as God convicted me and convinced me and humbled me and brought me to faith in him, I can testify that you're never a loser. You gain far more than you thought you would lose. The friendships that he talks about here, the joy of fellowship, the family you come into, that is extraordinary blessing. And then there's a third promise, a third gift. You will inherit eternal life. An inheritance is a gift. It is not earned. We do nothing. It is all of grace. And God gifts us eternal life through his Son, Jesus. Well, how do all these promises flow to us? Through following Jesus. The disciples say in verse 27, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. And he acknowledges this in verse 28, you have followed me. And so they enter life. Unlike the rich young man who was not prepared to leave his wealth, who did not respond to the call to follow Jesus and chose earthly life, treasures on earth, above eternal life, treasures in heaven. He chose ultimately spiritual death, for he would receive nothing. Rather than judging, he would be judged. Rather than 100 times as much, he would lose everything he ever had. Treasures on earth gone and no treasures in heaven. Not just a bad investment decision for the rich young man, but a disastrous, catastrophic one. Well, we've got a couple of minutes for questions. I said just before I wrap up and we finish, has anybody got any questions that they want to ask about this passage or what they've heard? It may not necessarily be a question, it might be a comment or something that you've seen here that would be good to share with others. You're not allowed to shout out loud because in these days, but just raise a hand or from where you sit, I think we'd hear. Any comments or questions? Yes. Pardon? No. So he didn't list all the Ten Commandments. Is that why? Is that your question? Is why? I don't know. Is the straight answer to that. Is it the relational ones with one another that he chooses? It's the second half. And he doesn't choose the last one, does he? If you look on your order of service, the last commandment is, you shall not covet. He doesn't actually quote that one, the tenth commandment. Is that because this man himself was covetous? That actually he was hoarding wealth? I don't know the answer to why he doesn't quote them all. He goes for ones maybe that would, he thought he might have kept. I don't know if anybody's got observations on that or comments on that. Anything, any other comments or questions? Harriet. Take it a bit further. What, that we shouldn't go evangelizing the rich?
Well, or maybe the first thing that particularly seems to show more, or is it just how it might affect
our country? I'm not. What? Oh, Karen's going to answer, yeah. I think that's right. And surely the gospel is for all people, isn't it? It is for rich and poor. We should not focus on one particular group, I don't think. Are there some for whom it is easier than others to come to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus here is reflecting certainly how hard it is for the rich, because money of all things can grab our hearts and can become that false god and that false idol so powerfully. That you see happening here. I think there's a challenge in here to give to his heart for the poor and concern for the poor, and that has raised, Karen and I were talking about this, how much are we giving to the poor if we are those who are rich? And let's be honest, we are rich. So maybe this is something that we are finding hard to think about ourselves. It is not that others are rich, we are the rich ones that Jesus would have in his sights here. I'm sure of that. Let's carry on the conversations afterwards over coffee. I hope that just sort of stirs us up to thinking and engaging with what God's word says here. This man's whole life was geared to good things for himself, wasn't he? Yet he was offered the best thing, in fact, 100 times better than he'd already got in his life, and the promise of eternal life, offered all this freely through following Jesus, and he wouldn't do it. He would not deny himself. It was too costly. Yet Jesus says, I am giving everything away for you. I'm going to give my life that you might have life, eternal life. Now you give everything that has a grip on you, that you're following to follow me. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he hasn't done. He makes the impossible possible through the gift of his Son. He'll upend our lives in the process. He'll set them the right way up with Jesus at the center. We're going to pray, and Gloria's going to come and lead us as we do that, and then we will sing after that. But Gloria, come and lead us as we pray together.